You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
And Jim Harbaugh kind of made it Woody and Bo all over again. Woody and Bo would often talk. Do you speak much to Jim Harbaugh now, or would you guys meet? Would you guys ever sit down?
You know, we always got along fine during our time. We didn't spend a lot of time together. I knew his brother and know his father, and so great respect for that family. But no, we don't. I don't think we've ever. We did a couple of Dick Vitale event here in Florida once. And
I love that. I would say it's great.
That's great.
Great. Never talk to him. I love it. It's better. It's better that way. That in our minds, Ohio State, I'm an alum. That's better that way. It's just perfect.
Okay. That was Urban Meyer with us about 40 minutes ago. Asked him about Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I don't think they're really going to have a bunch of dinners together or anything. I mean, one's definitely not drinking milk with his dinner. Or doing it, playing shirtless catch or any of the other weird things that Jim Harbaugh does. And he's a weirdo, let's be honest. Both good football coaches, but one's weirder than the other one. Hearing him, do you like that? Obviously, I think it makes the relationship spicy. It makes the rivalry spicy.
You know what? It is fun because, you know, all credit to Harbaugh and, Connor Stallions and everything. But, you know, they were able to win their championship and they were able to, again, propel.
Just means more to Connor Stallions. Well,
to propel the Big Ten to where it is, where you have expansion and the entire South is apoplectic about the state of affairs, where people are wondering, is the SEC ever going to win another? Of course they will. Of course they will. But the fact that we even got this break in the action of two Northern schools, and then credit to Notre Dame and credit to Penn State, like they are once again having people believe this isn't just a regional sport. This is huge for college football. And I love that Urban Meyer, who is one of the all-time great coaches in that sport and able to do it in the South and up North, can do what he can to make sure this rivalry is still a big deal, even though you've got people telling you, like me, that what does it even matter if you lose the Michigan game? What does it matter? You just went and won the national championship. You know, these games used to mean so much more, and now they're going to mean less every single year. And Urban Meyer's like, no, you don't understand. This still is a big deal. And it will continue to be a big deal. I absolutely love it from his standpoint.
Yeah, it's a thing. There we go. It's got to be personal. It's always going to be personal to the fans. I don't like the way that things are set up. I don't like a Big Ten championship game. I said that to you in the podcast. I think that that needs to be killed, especially when they get to 16 teams. I think you need to get rid of a Big Ten championship game because I think you only run the risk of watering it down. I don't understand how you would ever want to run the risk of having a big money. But I say that even though I know that people will always tune in. But you don't want to water down something that makes college football special. Rivalries are real in college football, where they're not, and essentially they're not in the NFL. There's a lot of teams that have rivalries, and they come, they go. Some have rivalries just because the players end up hating each other for a multitude of reasons. Professional sports, I don't see rivalries the same way I ever would in college football. College football is a special thing, and you have the most special rivalry there. And I wouldn't want to play it the next week, or if you had to play them again in the playoffs, play them again in the playoffs. But I wouldn't want to play them again the next week for the Big Ten championship game, which is only there in spirit of making money alone anymore, and that's it. Just move on to the playoffs, and that's the way it works, and you pick a champion there. And I think you can make more money with the postseason. But I love what he had to say. I like that type of stuff. I think it's really nice. You know, I love history. I do love to read about Woody and Bo and the relationship they had, and even at the end with Woody and all this stuff. I think it's really, really nice. It's respectful. But I also like when there's spiciness, when there's awkwardness, and there's definitely an awkwardness to those two guys. Speaking of awkwardness, am I being a bitter man if I say the following statement? If Baker Mayfield's your 38th best overall player in your franchise history, are you that great of a franchise? It's not a statement, it's a question. Am I being bitter? I'll stand down if I'm being bitter. I'm asking the room here. Because I saw that yesterday and I went, 38th best? Do you think he needs to be higher? Because I'm going, 38? They've been around since when? 76?
Yeah.
Bucks have been around since 76. Okay, so they ain't been around since 46. We've been around since 46. That's 30 more years of history. That's a lot of other players. Okay, maybe I'm thinking a little differently here. But am I being a bitterman if I'm going, really, he's already the 38th best Buccaneer of all time?
After having two good seasons.
Yeah.
Right?
He was really good last year.
Yeah,
he was he had a good season, then he had a really good season. Let's call it what it is. So he had a good season and a really good season. 38th best already? Franchise history?
It's two playoff seasons. They aren't just good seasons, right? They're playoff seasons.
Yeah, the problem is that they've won, and it's hard for anybody in my age bracket. Like, when we were young, Tampa Bay was an all-time joke. They were an all-time joke.
We had Eric Rett. And you had the beginning of Derek Brooks, and that's about it. Go ahead.
Testaverde? The Vinny Testaverde?
Yeah, we're talking pre-this look of the, yeah. Of the
yeah.
Buccaneers.
And, yeah, but they do have two Super Bowls. So you would think because they have two Super Bowls, they'd have a bunch of those players that would be on that list.
Like, Warren Sapp's got to be top five for them.
Well, the reason I say that...
Derek Brooks might be number one overall, if not for Tom Brady.
Kenny, now the Browns have real history because of the championships and the Jim Brown era and the Otto Graham and even the 80s, certainly going to three AFC championship games. But if this year the Browns won the Super Bowl, how many Browns players are now moving up the charts, you know, in huge numbers?
Well, how many Browns players would actually be on the charts? If we did a top 50 Browns, is Denzel Ward a top 50 Brown all time?
Yeah, I mean, then you're putting him, you're putting Betonio, you know, obviously Myles Garrett is going to go front and center.
Okay, but
where
Baker's,
does Myles Garrett go?
Baker's only made the playoffs with them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's...
But that's also a franchise known for their defense, right? They named a defense after what they did there, that's what Tony Dungy did.
What was it? I don't
called
remember.
Called the Tampa 2.
Tampa 2, that's it. I thought you were talking
you
about...
you drop like, your middle linebacker. Just me being
let's
a football
get into
guy.
Let's
you're
let's
a football
go.
Guy. That's a nitty-gritty yeah. football
let's
guy.
Let's go. Is that still in vogue
does
right now?
Does that put Monty Kiffin in the top 50 Tampa Bay Buccaneers of all time? Does that put them there? I thought you were talking about like the no-name defense,
no,
the Purple
I mean,
People Eaters, Orange Crush.
Literally every 4-3 defense runs some version of the Tampa 2 now.
Steel Curtain. Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. A version of defense.
But when you think back to even when they became a franchise that wasn't a joke anymore, right? When I was going into high school and, you know, that was, they changed their
this
look.
Sucks.
They got away
yeah,
from the creamsicle
this
and they
sucks.
Started being on offense, what they have. They had Allstott. And then they played a lot of great defense.
See, they got to get their act together. Because if I were in any other city right now, the Browns got to get their act together. Because if we were hosting this show in Detroit, Michigan, I go, 38th best? That's all you've had in your entire existence from 76 to 2025. That's all you've had. That's it. He's 38th best already after two playoff appearances.
Yeah.
I go, man, my opinion of Tampa Bay football just hit the bleeps. But if I was in Detroit, I could get away with that. I'm in Cleveland. So guess what immediately people are going to say? You're a bitter, fat, all the other words that you want to say. That's always brought up, but you get it.
I think you're discrediting him a little bit, just a little.
Little.
Because, and I think part of that's because they had Tom Brady right before that. if Tom Brady didn't show up there, they wouldn't have won a Super Bowl, and then he really would be doing something big.
Because
there.
We made the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Is Joe Flacco a top 50 Cleveland Brown of all time? Hell no. No. Is Baker Mayfield a top 50 Brown of all time?
Name a ton of offensive Browns.
Yes, you can. They've had a prolific offensive history.
You know, that's true offensive prolific, right?
Yeah.
You put Keyshawn in there with them. You put Tom Brady in their top, whatever, 38, because he won a Super Bowl. Would you put Gronk in there? Played 2 years there.
Okay. You're in good hands with Allstott. Yeah, damn
work
it.
Done.
You guys got to get your act together, because I can't have a conversation about the guy without it all coming back to that.
It's going to.
I haven't had to ask
the
question.
We're in Cleveland.
Am I being bitter? Like, I have to question myself and my own motives.
I think you're being a little bitter.
I'm not trying to be bitter, though.
I understand.
He's a very good quarterback. I'd put him top 10 right now.
So we
40 touchdowns last year. That's nothing to fart at.
That's what happens when you look at your ex. Anytime you speak on your ex, you're gonna come off as a little bitter.
Okay, I feel like every time we have a Baker conversation, we have to remind people, well, actually, this was his final year. This was what was going on in the locker room. And then he was terrible the next year in Carolina.
Yeah, but the winners
thought he would be out of the league.
And if you have to, well, actually, your conversations, you're being a little bit.
Winners of the wars write the history.
It's not wrong. I'm not telling you that you're doing it wrong.
Well, so the next question is, like, does it even matter what happens with Baker from here on out? Was it definitely not a mistake to go to Deshaun? That 100% obviously was a mistake because Deshaun had an all-time fall from grace. But the fact that they moved on from him, like, what if Baker, this is just what he is the rest of his career. First round, done. Wild card round, done. You know, easiest division in football with all those weapons.
Until the Browns overcome that and aren't at least a first round and done team. Yeah.
But the Browns' whole point was, we don't think he's good enough. If he's never truly good enough even there in the NFC, when all the
you're fine as a Browns fan toiling again because he wasn't good enough to be a Super Bowl quarterback?
His whole career is the How Do You Like Me Now video from Toby Keith. R.I.P.
Didn't know we'd be bringing him up.
Fellow Oklahoma. I'm not trying to make you cry, but that's what it's become. And you and guys, we can go back and revise all we want. We know the history. We've talked about it all the time. But the winners write the history. Czar Nicholas, he doesn't get his say. He got shot in the basement. And that's where we're at right now. We're being led down to the basement.
But let's say...
That's what we got.
Let's say this year Flacco takes them to the playoffs.
Please.
So that's two playoff appearances with Joe Flacco.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're not winning the Super Bowl or anything.
I mean, is he still 40 years old? But Baker's, what, 28?
Sure, but if Baker again doesn't get past, you know, doesn't get to the NFC Championship game. And again, we all recognize, like, the better quarterbacks are all in the AFC. I know Philadelphia is in the NFC, but the better quarterbacks are in the AFC. What do we do with that information? How do we evaluate moving on from him?
I don't know.
Not moving on to the guy we moved on to.
Well, if Flacco ends up doing it this year, he's definitely above Baker all time as a Brown.
What? Is that right?
Yeah, if he gets them to the playoffs this year. And he is a play. Yes.
We didn't draft him.
Don't look at me like that. If Joe Flacco gets the Browns to the playoffs twice, he's above Baker as a Brown.
As a Brown.
Yeah. Okay. You got to listen to the whole thing instead of making your big eyes over there. Listen to the whole thing.
I'm listening to you. I just had to question
it. You're too busy going, ip.
Well, what if they just go out there and get their asses handed to them again in the wild card round like they did to Houston?
This is a city of getting your asses handed to you in the playoffs for the NFL, right?
Sir.
In the playoffs for the NFL, if you even make it there, getting your asses handed to you is at least getting there.
I think I might have handed my bitter biscuits over to Owen because one guy beat the Pittsburgh Steelers in a playoff game. The other guy got ran through by the Houston Texans.
I don't believe
and
he's
going to
do it,
again.
So I can say it because I don't believe that it's going to happen.
Well, that's fair, too. Oh, they're rolling in now. I'm getting cuss out tweets. I'm going, boys, I ain't the one who said it. I ain't the guy.
Where are they cussing?
They're cussing Owen.
Why?
Because you said that Joe Flacco would be ahead of Baker Mayfield on the all-time Browns list if he only makes the playoffs this year with the Browns.
Yeah.
And I said,
incredible feat for a franchise that doesn't have a lot of, especially the last 30 years, doesn't have a lot of playoff.
Fair. But you said just made the playoffs. He's got to win in the playoffs because one guy beat the Steelers. And I don't give a damn if Ben Roethlisberger just rolled over and died and Cam Hayward was playing on one leg. One guy beat the Steelers and one guy got boat raced in the playoff game against the Houston Texans. We love Joe, but if we're making comparisons, we got to make the comparisons.
Of course, if we're in that position in January, come back to me.
I still think the defense in the first half was the issue.
Eric says Baker is a top 38 Brown all time, too, maybe higher. Well, well, looks like you're going to have to host the show by yourself for the rest of the morning, because now I'm going to go counting Cleveland Browns.
Yeah, I don't think Baker's in there.
All right, Mary Kay Cabot. She's a Hall of Famer. She's a Bill Nunn Award winner. She joins us on the
38 guest on the show today.
She Mary Kay is a top 50 Brown. Absolutely.
Yeah. Mary Kay. Is Baker Mayfield was ranked number 38 in the history of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, number 38 of their all-time greatest players by the organization. Do you believe that Baker Mayfield is 38th or higher with the Cleveland Browns since 1946 to now?
That's a great question. I would have to probably give it a little bit more thought, but considering that he did lead the Browns to the playoffs, was their number one overall pick, and as you mentioned, beat the Steelers in the playoffs. I think there's a lot to be said for that, so I think a case can be made.
Damn it. All right, fine. May this guy on the internet's right. Twitter Reactions brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, by the way. All right, Mary Kay, do you want to start off with the miles, or do we want to put away the miles? What do you want to do?
It's up to you. You're running the show.
All right. Were you dissatisfied with his non-answers yesterday then?
Yes, I was. I think a very, very simple, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done it, I made a mistake, and I won't do it again, would have sufficed. And I just think that would have been an easy thing to do and the right thing to do, because in my opinion, it's not his personal life that we're talking about here. It's other people being at danger. And I'm very grateful that no one has lost their lives because of any of these speeding incidents. I'm grateful that Miles hasn't, that his passenger didn't, and that nothing catastrophic happened when he did it again the other night. So a simple I'm sorry, I think, would have just done the job.
Well, people are mad at us for even bringing it up or for the media to even ask the question, which, of course, he knew the question was coming. But, you know, don't we remember the head coach, Kevin Stefanski? It seemed like he was a little annoyed about having to even deal with, you know, whether it was Myles Garrett or Shedeur Sanders in the speeding.
Oh, absolutely. They've made it abundantly clear that they don't want their players speeding around at 100 miles per hour on the highways of Northeast Ohio. They don't want that. They don't want it because they know the end game. They know what can happen. Miles already knows what can happen because it already happened to him. So it's not a huge deal. It's not something to come back at day after day after day. But the first time that you do talk to a player after an incident like this, especially everything that Miles has been through in this space, just a simple one-sentence answer, and then you move on. And I think as a media corps, we're pretty good about that. We're pretty good about just letting a guy off the hook after that. That's what we did with Shedeur. We asked Shedeur about it. He handled it very well. He kind of didn't make light of it, but, in his sort of trademark smiley kind of way, said that he's not even going to drive very much anymore. And he just owned it and acknowledged that it was an issue, and he moved on. And I thought that was an unfortunate approach by Miles, not to just say, my bad, won't happen again.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us on the fan hotline. Kevin Stefanski, you know, you have been sitting here on the phone while Lima and I have had very bitter arguments with each other, just waiting for us to ask you a question. But I had to agree with Anthony today. I think that Kevin did make a mistake in initially saying that it was a four-quarterback race to be the starting quarterback of the Cleveland Browns, because I think he opened up the organization to criticism. Now that Joe Flacco is named the Week 1 starter, do you agree with Anthony when he says that the Cleveland Browns, or Kevin, made a mistake in saying it was an open competition to be the starter?
Well, I don't have a huge problem with it in the beginning, because you never really know how a rookie is going to respond, how they're going to come into your football team, assimilate the offense, and how they will perform. I think you've already seen in that last game that there is something pretty special about Dylan's processing speed and how quickly he's picking things up. And then in the first game, you saw that Shedeur has an elite accuracy that given that that's the most important trait for a quarterback, you want to see what that's all about. And I don't think that you want these two young guys coming in thinking they don't have a chance to win the starting job, when the truth of the matter is all four of these quarterbacks, they bring something different to the table, and it's really just a matter of what the Browns were going to want to put out there in the early going of the season. The other thing is, it brings out the best in everyone. Why not let Kenny and Joe have the feeling that these two young guys are pressing them? Why not let the two young guys think that they have a shot to beat out the two older guys? So in the very beginning, I didn't have a problem with it, but I felt it should have been wrapped up.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Very, very quickly. And in essence, it was, because I think the minute that Kenny Pickett suffered the hamstring injury, at that point, I think it was Joe's job to lose.
Mary Kay Cabot joining us here on the show. Are we going to be carrying four quarterbacks after next week, or could Kenny Pickett maybe find his way as the odd man out because of the injuries?
I think that they will carry four quarterbacks heading into the season. And I've been saying that all along. I wrote it as a column a long time ago, and it almost seemed like no one really wanted to believe me about that.
I wanted to believe you, but I have to ask you the question again, that's all.
No, that's okay. They were always going to keep three. They were going to keep Kenny, Joe, and Dylan, even heading into the draft. That was the plan. And then Shador, when they decided to draft him in the fifth round, they want to develop him. They want to see what he's all about. And so I think they will keep all four of them. They'll have the two veterans. They'll have the two rookies. And I don't think that that's a huge problem to do that. And if someone makes them an offer that they can't refuse for one of these guys, sure, they'll listen. That's how the Browns operate. But I do think that there is strong sentiment for keeping all four right now.
All right, Mary Kay, I have said, and don't feel bad at all if you need to call me out and say I am way off base, but I've kind of said recently, I think there are some people in that building who think the best quarterback there that could help them win the most is actually not Joe Flacco, it's not Shador, it's not Dylan Gabriel, it's Kenny Pickett. Do you believe that? He is the guy they went and got first, so somebody has got to like him.
Well, that's another thing that I've been writing for a very, very long time about Kenny Pickett, that the Browns brought him in here to really challenge for that starting job and make a good run at it and be their bridge quarterback until one of their young guys was ready. So that was the plan. And if you remember, they didn't sign Joe until April 11th. So it was deep into free agency when they added Joe to the roster. You don't do that if you think that guy is going to be your starting quarterback. So I believe that heading into the offseason program, Kenny Pickett was QB1. I think he was coming along well, and I think he was firmly in the mix to start week one, along with Joe, for the most part, until he suffered the hamstring injury, and then he just couldn't be in the competition anymore. And obviously, you know, we've seen how that has turned out. But absolutely, that was the plan for him to come in and really make a run at that starting job.
So what happens to the rookies now as the season starts? Because I know we all argued about first-team reps. Well, there's going to be no first-team reps when this season gets going here because they have to go to Joe and then maybe they go to Kenny. So how do these guys get ready where, I think this is a season where a lot of us are anticipating we will see four quarterbacks, and we're seeing more videos out on Instagram, maybe even five quarterbacks by the time this season's said and done.
Well, Kevin Stefanski has been very vocal about the fact that they are intentional about developing their rookies. That's what they will continue to do. They have these two guys in here. They have to know what they have before they head into a draft where they have two first-round picks. So they will find creative ways, just like they did in minicamp and in training camp, to get these guys the reps that they need. Of course, they will run the scout team at times, and they will do other things. They will do after-practice sessions like they have been doing. They'll find ways to get these guys up to speed and to continue to develop them. And then the rookies are going to have to take it upon themselves to do things on their own to make sure that they're ready to go when their number is called, which could be at some point in the second half of the season. So, I mean, they too spotted during mini camp and training camp that was using dual fields to get these guys extra reps. They'll find creative ways to get it done.
Juwan Briggs, he got traded to the Jets yesterday. They must be feeling really good about the depth they have on that defensive line.
Well, to a certain extent, yes, but it's not like Juwan Briggs was a starter. I mean, he was a backup seventh-round pick from last year. So they had an extra body there, and they were able to parlay it into a little bit of a higher pick, and they did it. And I think over the next 3, 4, 5 days, you'll be seeing a lot of back-end roster moves. They'll try to acquire some more picks. They'll perhaps bring in some new players, and that's what happens at this time of year.
So we saw Isaiah Bond already at practice. He talked to the media, had no problem at least issuing a statement. What about Judkins at this stage? Why do you think he has not been able to iron something out with the Browns?
It's hard to come by. That information right now is very, very hard to come by. The only thing that I know right now is that they just don't have the contract done yet. We know he's not signed. I know the league, the last time I talked to the NFL, they said they were still reviewing the matter. Then I talked to someone else who said they were hearing sort of through the grapevine that they did not think that Quinshon would be disciplined by the NFL, but I don't know if that's true or not. Once again, everyone is very, very mum on the topic. The only thing that I know right now is that he doesn't have a contract, and until he has that contract signed, he won't be here.
Are the Browns at all using his legal situation, which now is no longer a situation, are they using that as leverage in this negotiation?
I'm sure there are discussions going on amongst the Browns, the NFL, the agent, to work this thing out. And perhaps there is something going on in that regard where they think if he's going to be suspended for a number of games, maybe that impacts the contract. So I'm not exactly sure right now, but I'm sure there are back channel discussions going on to make sure that it all works out for everyone.
Well, the reason I asked the question is because if they didn't think he did anything wrong, can they really not give him the money for the full year? Or are they just saying, hey, it's whatever the NFL says?
Again, I think it's negotiating, and it's just talking things through to make sure that the contract lines up with the player's value. But those guys are slotted. The rookies are slotted, so he's going to get a certain amount of money. I think remember, those second-round picks wanted fully guaranteed contracts. Maybe they're haggling over that. I don't really know the answer to that yet, but there is some kind of a holdup at this point, it seems, with the contract. It shouldn't really be the amounts too much. Because, again, they're slotted. It's 11.3. The signing bonus is going to be somewhere in the high $4 million. So I really don't think the money is an issue. And the Browns have never really pinched pennies when it comes to this sort of thing.
Mary Kay Cabot on the fan hotline. Mary Kay, thank you very much for the time. We'll talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. What are you thinking over there? What are you thinking over there? You're starting to, the wheels are starting to clink together. What's going on?
Well, just that if the Browns always say, you know, we've done our own investigations on matters or whatever. And it happened with Isaiah Bond, who they immediately put into a practice situation. Okay. Mm-hmm. Judkins' legal issues are now behind him, right?
Yes.
Okay. So
but not with the NFL.
Right, but what is their, does it matter what their investigation? They always say, we've done our internal investigation. If they've done an investigation, remember, they actually used polygraph, conclusions of the polygraph. They used that for Isaiah Bond. I'm not sure what they're doing with Judkins, but I imagine they always say, we're conducting our own investigations, and obviously the NFL is too. If they think that he did nothing wrong, if he was just acting in self-defense or whatever in that altercation, then what's stopping them? Are they not going to give him a contract because they don't believe him, or they're just going to go by what the NFL does?
I think it's time for a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Minter.
Hard to have a training camp report about a guy who ain't never been there, but we're going to do it anyway.
Why ain't he been at training camp?
Is it as simple as he wants guaranteed money and they ain't going to give it to him? It might just be a total negotiation tactic. Now, I'd like to get the player into camp. Well, camp's over. I'd like to get the player into the process, into the system here.
If you're still doing training camp reports, camp's not over.
Yeah, technically, camp's still going on.
How much money are we haggling over here, if that's the case? I would love to know. Because I think as Browns fans, we would just like to get him into camp or whatever you're calling it, practice. You'd like
about
to get him in.
Tree fitty.
Like, if it turns out we're haggling over $1.5 million, it's like, come on, all you guys have ever said is Haslam's have the money. Don't let that be an impediment. Well, I want this guy in as soon as possible. Give him his money. Who cares?
But do they want to give him guaranteed money when he might be...
Fine. Who cares?
Do they want to give him guaranteed money
when he might... Owen, do you care about the money?
I do not care about it. Third time's the charm.
Three, two, one.
Ken,
do
come
they
on
want
our
to
side.
Give him...
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Guaranteed money if he is going to be suspended for a prolonged amount of time.
Do you have to pay him when he's suspended?
I don't know those rules.
Guess what? I don't care. Give him the money.
I mean, if they're going to stand by him once he comes here and they're going to say he's right. A Cleveland Brown, he represents the Cleveland Browns. We have no issues with his past. His legal matters are behind him. Let's go. Let's pay him like a Cleveland Brown then. What are
for
we doing?
$1.5 million?
Yeah, what are we haggling over?
Cool.
What's our contract? Our owner
is more liquid than any of the other owners in the NFL, basically.
It doesn't mean they're just handing out money.
Yeah, but in this
case, it's a business.
If all I ever hear from everybody is the Browns are geniuses circumventing the cap, they manipulate the cap, we have an owner that's willing to spend, that's the difference between us and the Bengals.
I say some of those things, I don't say all of them.
Then what are we haggling over this, especially if he's an innocent man? Right? Like, let's go. Let's stand by our guy.
Well, I'm not even concerned with the innocence or the guilt right now. It doesn't matter because he's going to be a Cleveland Brown or seen as a Cleveland Brown unless they don't sign him at all and then he ends up somewhere else.
Well, that can't happen.
Right?
That would be a disaster.
He'll always be under the branding of Cleveland Browns. So let's just get him in here and let's get it over with. Let's get all of the negative publicity of him being a part of the team in and get it going. Let's not worry about that week 3 of the season. Let's just get it going.
Just we all agree earlier is the better here.
Yeah.
Bless it. Hold on. Let me.
Need more time to clicky-clack?
No, I got to check the contract of the guy who was signed around him.
Okay.
Fully guaranteed 4-year, $11.6 million deal for Nick Emanuari of the Seattle Seahawks.
Okay.
That's a different player. I think he plays a different position. He's a safety. Just pointing it out.
Yeah.
All right. So, in the grand scheme of things, 4 years at $11.6 million or 4 years at $11 million, is that really breaking them? Okay, fine. Whatever. Hell with it.
Welcome to our side, Ken.
I just didn't know at first, okay? I have to ask questions, don't I? Don't I have to ask the question? So what's the holdup?
Is it incentives? Is it whether or not it has to be guaranteed?
Because it can't be about the mark that he leaves on the organization by bringing him in. Because that's already done.
It's done. And you brought Isaiah Bond in.
Right. And he spoke yesterday.
So what are we grinding our gears for here? What are we wringing our hands here for then? All right, that's a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
Didn't accomplish a damn thing there. Troy in Zanesville, hello.
Hey, I just wanted to chime in on this Judkins thing.
You do it, brother.
I think the only reason why he's not signed is because there was bruising on that girl, visible evidence that I think the prosecutor just muffed up the prosecution on it. And I think the NFL, I don't think Judkins going to play this year, man.
Are they, well, you're saying they could suspend him for the entire year? Because that's the, well, now, because now we're going in circles,
I don't,
Troy,
because so.
I asked the same question. I go, how long is he going to be suspended? I mean, good God, at first we thought could it be 11 games like Deshaun Watson? Could it be 6 games? I don't know how long he's going to be suspended.
Had 10 games, right?
Yeah.
But they didn't sign him until afterwards.
I think the Browns are just kind of doing their due diligence and just kind of waiting to see what the NFL says.
I agree with you. I think they're just waiting to see what the NFL says. And once the NFL says something, then they're going to go ahead and negotiate a contract.
But do you think they're not going to sign him if the NFL says, well, it's going to be a full season? Is there a point where the NFL gives a number of games that the Browns don't sign him?
Say it again.
Is there a number of games that the NFL could give Quinshon Judkins in suspension that the Browns say that's too much for us? I think the Browns will sign him. Then just sign him.
Now, I want to be as accurate as possible because the caller said there were images of bruising. That is what the police included.
We have not seen such images.
In their police report, they said there were images with bruising on the face and on the arm and on the, I believe, the thigh.
Mm-hmm.
Photographs displaying bruising is what the woman showed police officers. The prosecutors, when they decided not to pursue the case further, they said the incident was not captured on video surveillance. There are no independent witnesses, so nobody saw it. The victim had photos showing injuries sustained. There were also videos in that same time frame with no injuries observed to the victim. Now, I know some people said, well, yeah, if you're wearing makeup and you're videoed in public, you know, are you going to cover the bruises? Whatever. The reality is, in the end, it's a he said, she said. Like so many of these cases, and when there's no video, it's tough for any case to go forward. And we also know so many times victims, they will cooperate at the beginning of an investigation, but will they actually sit up there on trial and answer questions? Many will not. So then the prosecutors, there's only so far they can go with it.
Yes. 216-474-0092. No better transition than Bob and Rocky River. You're next up on the Fan. Hello.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment on the Myles Garrett situation.
Mm.
And that is this. The idea of being smart, accountable, and all that really relates, as far as I'm concerned, to what goes on in the football field and the practice field and the clubhouse. I could care less about his speeding ticket, where he goes to church, what he reads, who he dates. That's nonsense. Mary Kay is absolutely incorrect. If he'd answered that question the way she wanted him to answer it, there would have been more questions about leadership. Garrett handled it the right way. And that scumbag reporter, he ought to be fired. That's it.
Which report? What are you talking about? Mary? No, not Mary Kay.
He's talking about Chanel.
Oh.
Scumbag Chanel.
The way he asked the question. Hey, listen, Jeff can ask questions the way he wants to ask questions.
There is no, there's no better word than scumbag. It is an awesome word. When somebody calls me a scumbag, I absolutely love it.
the guy's not a scumbag.
Scumbag has a different connotation than what he is saying. Jeff Shadell's one of the my most favorite people that I've ever heard that I've never met.
But the way it comes off, the way it rolls off the tongue, as someone who's been called a scumbag many times.
Well, you've lived the lifestyle, though.
I call you a scumbag every morning.
You know, a douchebag, whatever. Scumbag is so much better. Scumbag, I've been called all of it. When you are called a scumbag, it just hits differently.
Well, now I got to know. Since we're here.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Tell me. Slurs that hit differently for you. We're slime ball right now.
Rat boy's got to be up there.
Rat boy, olive oil, skinned. That one's always a good one. Pizza boy. I legitimately was a pizza boy. Got close to the pizza boy fantasy. It was close. I'll never forget opening up that door. What I saw.
Man, I never got that.
I became a man. And boy, there were two ladies. And the other guy.
How did you not go in there?
The other guy that went and paid me, because they were like, who's going to pay for this? He came out and his look of, this is what I have. We're about to have a great night.
Why did you ask if he needed help?
I'll never forget. Well, I don't know what kind of help.
How did you not ask?
What kind of help was I supposed to be supplying?
I don't care about what pizza shop you work at. You can be late for such a thing. If I owned that pizza shop, it was Kenny's Pizza Shop.
You would have understood?
Yeah, I'd have understood.
It was a mom and pop pizza shop,
right? So it was legitimately.
Right? Just talk to Pop. Let him know
what's going on. Just to paint a picture. Learn how to swing, babe.
Paint a picture. I was guessing at the time I had to be 19 or 20.
Oh,
these ladies were in their 20s.
This is hot.
Bikini on one,
no.
The other had a cover up over the bikini, so you could see the bikini. That's always the best when you can see the swimsuit with the cover up over. And they
stuff.
Had smiles on their face where I don't know what they were up to beforehand. I definitely know what was going to happen after, and just the mind. Remember, I was Howard Stern.
Listen to
Howard Stern back in the day. Everything was in play. Everything was in play in my mind.
How do you not join?
It's a nice house, too. And there was a pool in the back because I had delivered to that house before and I'd gone to the pool. And in the past, I had brought sheets on the weekends. It was full-blown parties. This was, I only got to go to the
pizzas.
Front door.
Yeah,
sheet pizza.
You said sheets. I go, wait.
He's
sheet
a freak pizzas. In the sheet pizzas.
Yeah. Great tip, too. This was a house where I was known to get the $50 tips on the sheets. I'll never forget that day.
Some may say just the tip. Yeah, I know. I'm going to break.
Hey, if I'm going to have the Pizza Boy fantasy, allow all of Northeast Ohio to have the Pizza Boy fantasy at one time in their life.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery, though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
I'm Josh Eyre.
And I'm Nicole Inaiti.
And we're the cooks responsible for all the strange dishes on the internet's most watched daily show, Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link, and our own YouTube channel, Mythical Kitchen.
Between the two of us, we've worked almost every weird job the food industry has to offer, and we've developed some pretty strong opinions.
The strongest opinions, Nicole. Opinions so strong they need to be heard on an easily consumable auditory medium.
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
Are boneless wings just poser nuggets?
Is cereal soup?
Follow and listen to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Free on the Odyssey app and everywhere you get your podcasts.